Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us, supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru. Over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, no problem. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it ordered to ship right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. I did exactly what I tell you guys to do all the time yesterday. I got a big, they had a 3.5 pound flank steak yesterday at a Kroger. So I bought that. I fired up the grill. I cooked it. It was delicious. Nice baked potato, little broccoli on the side. You can't go wrong.
Sounds awesome.
It was really good. It's really good. And you, that could be you. That could be you this weekend. Just fire up the grill and put a steak on there. Dinner's ready quickly. Doesn't take long to cook a steak. At least it shouldn't. All right, for being honest here.
You're doing it correctly. It should not take that long.
I showed you. I sent you a picture of the steak that I had
in Tampa. Yeah, should not have sent me that because I got
that. That's a top three meal of my life. That's an unbelievable place.
Last week?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're in Tampa, I give Charlie's Steakhouse as high a recommendation as I am capable of giving to you.
What did it come with besides, obviously, the big steak?
It didn't come with nothing. You had to pay for every single thing you got.
Well, like, what else you get is kind of what I'm asking.
I'll tell you what. Let's get through the ad reads, and I'll go through the whole
thing. Okay.
All right, beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything College Corner, everything Mississippi State College Corner has it. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, whatever you're looking for, maroon and white, my friends at College Corner have got it. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you want to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. You need to talk to a banker that is going to give you a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right, for appetizers, we got the ahi tuna appetizer, which I love. Love rare tuna. Delicious. It was really, really good. And we were going to get the alligator appetizer. But the waitress talked us out of it. She said the grouper is better. So those fried grouper cheeks.
That sounds good, actually.
We're freaking delicious. All right. Salad. I skipped the salad. I got a bowl of lobster bisque. Unbelievable. It's like drinking butter. So good. Steak. I got the dry-aged bone-in ribeye. We got sides. We had two sides.
How'd you get it cooked?
Medium rare.
Good.
And their medium rare is a little under. It was closer to rare, but it was fantastic. Okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's a little under. It's fine. Just don't go a little over. Really good steak with some sort of like compound butter on top of it. Awesome. For the sides, it's $50,000 worth of sides. We got lobster mac and cheese, which was unbelievable. Like they pour the lobster bisque over the mac and cheese after it. Oh, so. That was a family size portion. I guarantee I ate half of that. Everybody else got like a scoop, but I was like, I'm finishing the rest of that. And then they recommended their cream corn, and we got that. That was really good. And then for dessert, I got the salted caramel cheesecake. And I had a fun moment where I tell the server, I'm like, hey, well, however much whipped cream they put on that thing, put an extra spoon on there. And she's like, oh, no, we do whipped cream at the table. I was like, What?
It's like the Parmesan cheese.
Yes.
It's the stop. It's the whipped cream.
This bowl. I was like, can you just leave the bowl? And she's like, no. I was like, just hit it. And so she gave me like two massive dollops of whipped cream. I was like, let's go. So,
wow.
So that last week, I'll give an update on my health journey. Like back in, I think, April, the grind of counting calories every day finally just got to me. I was like, I can't do this. There are sometimes I want to have seconds. There are sometimes I want to have some bread with my meal or something, and I haven't been able to do that for the sake of cat. So I've kind of gotten away from that. So I've put on probably 15, 20 pounds. I'm back up at like around 290 or so. Today, Monday, is I got to lock back in. So we're going to start that. But I didn't want to do it this past week because, like, I would be at Media Days.
No, I mean, you're at Media Days. So it's once a year.
I ate two big meals at Media Days, and the rest of the time I just ate in the I just ate what I ate. So I ate like five free meals there, which were fine. The catering wasn't terrible. It was actually pretty good.
It was good. It was good in Atlanta last year. They don't do a bad job.
If you listen to my Lebby interview, I tell him, I was like, we had a huge upset because right before I interviewed him, I ate lunch and it was tacos and I was wearing a white polo.
Ooh.
And I didn't get anything on me. And I was like, that's the upset of the season. He's like, that's a win. It's like, let's go. So
Lebby Paul Bunyan laugh you did last time we recorded.
Yes.
No, do the laugh. Do the laugh.
That's what it sounded like when I was telling the Len Gua story. So before we get started, though, quick NBA minute. LeBron to Philadelphia.
Yes. Wow.
So I got to tell this story again. I want to tell it because I mispronounced the guy's name, but you'll laugh. So we find out as I get off the plane going. So our flight went Tampa to Houston to Jackson. Don't ask me why. We're getting off the plane into Houston, right? And I look at my text. I'm catching up on my text messages. And our friend John Sokoloff, huge Sixers fan, he's like, oh, my God, Shams, LeBron. Ah! And I'm like, what happened? So I start scrolling through. So I see it, right? Now, you know that when Shams tweets something, what it's called, right?
Maybe.
Like it has like a – it's a Shams bomb. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm in the airport.
Oh.
So I look at Borky. I'm like, oh, my man, Shams.
Oh.
Tweet. I said tweet. I caught myself. Because I was just like, I almost said bomb as I'm getting off a plane. Like,
dude, you would have gotten swarmed by
– oh, I would have been swarmed. And then if I'm like, your last name's what?
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, you never would have seen me again. And then Borky made the good point. He's like, yeah, but if you get in there and you talk to him and it's a bunch of guys, you're like, guys, LeBron to Philadelphia. He's like, oh, Shams bomb. Okay, never mind. You're all right.
Woj bomb was a thing, too.
Yeah, but now he's gone. So you go Shams
no
bomb.
No longer with us.
He's no longer with us. So, yeah, I almost said bomb in the airport.
That is like saying, like, shark at a beach.
Or something. You know, it's like, I mean, I caught myself. I was like, as I'm saying Shams, I'm like, don't say bomb.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
That was smart.
I caught myself.
I was very surprised he picked that. Honestly, I thought he was going to one of the places he played before.
I was too. All right, let's jump into it now. SEC Media Days. I guess we'll just call it a lack of respect. I mean, I'm not sure which one I was more surprised with. We'll start with the team one. And that's State being picked 15th. Now, I didn't, not like I picked State 4th or 5th, right? I was also surprised with Ole Miss being 3rd. The pressure is on Pete Golding. 3rd was high for what
Where
I thought.
Where did you have to put him?
I had him 7th.
Who was right behind them? It was, LSU.
Oh, shoot. Here's the thing, though.
That's awesome.
3rd in the SEC is probably, what, like 8th or 9th in the country? I mean, Georgia and Texas are probably what? No worse than 4th, right?
Yeah, I feel like one of those two will win the SEC championship. The loser,
I feel like the top 4 in the first poll will be some combo of Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, shut up, and Texas, right? So you're telling me Ole Miss is the next team? I mean, if Kiffin were there, they might have been picked.
They honestly might
have been picked to win the conference if Kiffin was still their coach.
Yeah. I mean, because they would have had Prince Well.
They'd have Prince Well. They'd have Dottery. They'd have Winnie Watkins. They'd have that lineman Harper that left. They'd have all those guys.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to say because you know, would they have gotten Ferrelli or any of the other transfers as well?
Well,
It's just, I mean, it's
probably. Probably.
yeah, but Golding.
Golding probably did put a little more emphasis on defense, but maybe Kiffin would have looked at him and gone, look, I have Lacey and Chambliss. What do we need? We need to get some defense. Anyway.
Yeah, third.
Third is pressure for Pete Golding.
I would have put him third or fourth, probably.
I had them behind Alabama, Oklahoma, LSU.
Oh, yeah, I get it, but
no, I mean that's what I think. I think they're going to be like all of these teams are going to be like 9-3, 10-2 in the mix there, and I have them just towards the bottom.
Who's Alabama's starting quarterback? They barely made the playoffs last year, almost 11-1.
I may be overestimating Alabama after talking to some people. Anyway. State's 15th. So it got me looking at last year's what's the word I'm looking for? The standings. So what did 15 mean a year ago for being in the SEC?
Second.
So it was South Carolina.
Shane Beamer, man. Come on.
Yeah. So South Carolina. 1-7, 4-8 overall. So the reason they were 15th is because State was 5-7 in the regular season. State was 14th a year ago in the SEC. 1-7. Obviously, Arkansas went 0-8. They were dead last. Auburn was also 1-7. They are technically 13th because they didn't go to a bowl game. Because State is 5-8, Auburn was 5-7. The winning percentage is just a little different, right? So. I'll just tell you that if the media nailed that prediction, we're going to be, November is going to be about hot seats and hot lists and hot boards at that point. I put State 11th. I'll see if I can find my predictions. I
that
definitely, go ahead.
Does that have the record in there?
No, it doesn't. It's so tough, by the way. It is so tough to pick 16 teams in order. Like when they had the divisions, it was just so much easier to do this. All
without
right.
Without looking at their schedules, yeah, it's tough.
Right. Yeah. So I have State 11th. I have them ahead of Auburn, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. I'm not a Vanderbilt believer.
I think that's a good spot.
And look, 11th last year in the SEC, I mean, if I can do the math right, was LSU, who finished 7-6 with a bowl loss, right? So I think State's probably a 6-6 team. I'll just go ahead and tell you what I'm thinking going in. I haven't made my official prediction yet, but that's about where I think, right? So if you're saying 15th, you're saying this is probably a 4-3 win team. We've talked about this a lot. It's almost impossible to do that when your quarterback is good, unless you just have the worst defense in America, which I don't think State does now. Kamario Taylor, who, as we predicted, we talked about it last week, it got bigger as the week went along. And when he finally showed up, I mean, it went exactly like you and I said it was going to go. Everybody loves this guy. Everybody's excited to see him play. I think that, oh, and by the way, I'm going to put a, you know what, I'll do that when we come back to talk about the players. I put together like a super cut of all the Kamario. Everybody I asked about Kamario on an interview, I put a cut in there. So it's like a 7-minute long thing of different guys telling you about what they think about Kamario.
Did you ask Will Stein about him?
I did not. No, I didn't. I kind of focused on Will Stein's team. Will Stein, though, gave us our most viral clip of the week.
Luke Kuechly. Yeah. And the only guy the toad. That was crazy.
So that clip on Instagram and TikTok is getting close to like 500,000 views.
Yeah,
combined, it's crazy. I actually sent an email to the SID at Kentucky. I was like, thanks for saying yes to letting us talk to that guy because he's helping us out.
Toad story is hilarious.
That's really a funny story. Levy's was not as funny, but it was also still funny. So, yeah, just the guy went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame last week. We thought he sucked.
10 other guys sucked, or 10 other guys were great.
And yeah, this guy, he's don't worry about him.
One of the best linebackers of all time.
Best linebacker of his generation. Yeah, it's no problem.
Awesome.
I was surprised by 15. I'll just say that. So let me see if I can find the actual see who's ahead of them. I just like I said, I knew they would not be top half. I knew it wasn't going to be anything like that. But to see them.
I thought the Camario hype would get at least a little bit.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, carry into the team thing.
So, all right, here's the actual predicted order of finish. Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss third. Now, there, look, I will say this. There's a big gap between Texas at two and Ole Miss at three. The gap between Georgia and Texas
is not, which very,
is not very big. It's probably like literally like three or four votes in total. And it's kind of interesting. Somebody made the point of the SEC in the 34 years now they've been doing media days, that they've only picked the SEC champion correct 10 times. But that's kind of a misnomer, right? Because if Texas wins, then technically the media didn't predict the correct champion, right? But they were second, and they were really close. So it's not like the media just completely missed Texas, something like that. By the way, Bruce Marshall, who appears on Sports Talk Mississippi all the time, I don't know if you saw this, he picked Kentucky and went on Matt Moscona's show to defend his choice of Kentucky. I'm like, there is no
winning the conference.
Yeah, yeah, they got one vote.
What?
The SEC championship votes, 88 for Georgia, 57 for Texas. I picked Georgia for the record. 6 for Ole Miss, 5 for A&M, 3 for Alabama, 2 for Oklahoma, 2 for LSU, and then 1 for Kentucky, which is Bruce Marshall.
What?
From the gold sheet. Yeah. Yeah, that's one. Anyway, A&M 4th, LSU 5th, Alabama 6th, Oklahoma 7th, 8 is Tennessee, 9 is Florida. It's something to say, by the way, that there's a scenario where all of the top 9 are really actually playoff contenders. Like, all of them are. Like, I think Florida is going to be there. Tennessee is probably the one I would be the lowest on. But if that quarterback, you know, they got a top quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, he's a true freshman. But if he's good, they've got plenty of talent around him. Missouri 10th, South Carolina 11th, Auburn 12th, Vandy 13th, Kentucky 14th, Mississippi State 15th, Arkansas 16th. There is a huge gap, by the way, between Arkansas and Mississippi State. So it's not like State was close to being picked last. They were not. But they were probably second to last on most of the ballots, if I had to guess. So I had them 11th. I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised. I didn't expect State to be top half. I didn't expect people to be coming out of this saying, you know, I think State's a dark horse to win. None of that. But I thought they'd be better than 15th, didn't you? I'm going to turn the fan on while you talk.
1,000%. I just don't see how, you know, Brian, a couple things are true with this State team compared to some other years. In year one, Lebby averaged 21 a game on offense. Mm-hmm. Year two last year, they averaged 30. Mm-hmm. So bring Yarnett in, bring the guys who they brought in, especially in the secondary and the defensive line. You've got Kelly Jones. You've got Isaac Smith, two SEC players, two guys that will be playing on Sundays. And then you've got Power 4 transfers. I think that was the biggest thing. We talked about this. Bringing in Power 4 transfers that have played at other SEC schools, you know, Big 12 schools, these are the guys that are way different versus like a Conference USA, like our MAC transfers or whoever you're pulling other guys from. So, and then you bring in Arnett. So if they went up 9 points per game last year and that offense was led by Blake Shapen, I think there's no way that they don't average probably around 27, 28, I would imagine, if not more, a game. I mean, depends on how they do in the non-conference. The point is this, though. Their defense, there's no way they're worse than they were last year. They will be better because the players they brought in, the players they retained, and the defensive coordinator. So that has to be true. And then another thing has to be true is that they are much improved at quarterback. If this guy is half of what we think he is, Kamario Taylor, then they're going to be just fine. I think 15th is way too low. You know, you I think, might have nailed it on the head. The Vanderbilts, the Auburns, the Kentuckys, Arkansas, like those teams. I mean, those are first-year head coaches. And granted, Jeff Lebby is not the most established coach in the conference, mm-hmm. but there's still unknowns there. You know, Vanderbilt and Tennessee are a very similar position where they're bringing in a freshman quarterback, highly rated recruit out of high school. Is he going to be any good? You don't know. I mean,
Tennessee and Vandy kind of in the same booth, except that Tennessee has more talent around whoever they choose versus Vanderbilt. Yeah.
But I mean, even Alabama is a wild card. It's like, who are they starting, Keelan Russell or
They
not?
are they people I talked to with Alabama are convinced that they're not going to be able to run the football, which is for
I don't.
me a mind-bending statement that
Well, because
Alabama can't run the football, really?
I mean, did you watch that
They
game
couldn't
against?
do it last year. Yeah,
Watch that game against Indiana. They were out physical. The Saban attitude and stuff, I'm just gonna say it, is gone. Their physicality and
It's
their play.
definitely not the same.
It's
There's
I
no
mean,
question about that. So,
Indiana football
and
pushed them around like children.
here's the thing with State at you talk about I have them at 11, right? 11, 12, 11 through 14 kind of are all going to be the same team, right? Look at it last year. Here 11 went 7-6, and then it's 5-7, 4-8, 5-7, 5-8, right? The only reason that Florida is 4-8, they have two conference wins. They shouldn't have had two conference wins. We all know what I'm talking about. They should have lost to Mississippi State,
Yeah, that's
but
true.
it is what it is. And if that's the case, if State had won one more game and they're 6-7 instead of don't do it instead of 5-8, they're probably like 12th. And I've been saying this so many times, like Levy's perception is just the margins are just so thin for him right now. In that, if he had just won one more game last year, if he had just beaten Tennessee, or beaten Florida, or beaten
You
Texas,
beat me up, Florida.
one of those three games that you had a lead in, or you had a chance to win in the fourth quarter, and you couldn't do it. If you just win one of those games, the whole perception of Mississippi State right now is completely different. They're talking about State as, they could surprise some teams. Alabama, they play this stretch of Alabama, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma. They're going to beat one of those teams. That's going to happen. That's the message. But because you lost all three of them, you're picked 15th in the conference. Now, Mississippi State fans, by and large, are probably thrilled because they hate high expectations. They can't stand it. Like, I'd rather be down there, which I would not. I personally would not. I'd rather be on the Ole Miss side of things, people thinking we're going to be third when, in all likelihood, we're not. But that's what people think. People think good about you. I was surprised when the poll came out and it was 15. That just seemed low for a team that hired an established defensive coordinator that has some talent on defense, that offensively they're going to be okay. They have a potential superstar quarterback. I just don't see how you look at this team and say, yeah, they're just a little bit better than Arkansas.
And the guys they retained, I mean, Levy talked about it
He
when
did
he
talk
had,
about retention, yes.
like, besides Brennan Thompson, they brought back pretty much all their best players, including Will Whitson, who played six quarters but
Quill Whitson.
who was a game wrecker in those six quarters. So I think the players they retain, the coachings, I mean, someone actually told me this. I was at Bin the other day, and some guy was talking to me. They have five former head coaches on that staff. Or, well, including Levy, so they got four
So
more.
Arnett, Levy,
Montgomery.
Montgomery. Who else? Was
I
Mason Miller a head coach?
don't remember the other
I
two
don't think
guys.
so. You brought it up. Johns hasn't been a head coach.
I know, but they.
Warren, Brock. Brock has not been a head coach. No.
I don't remember who they said,
The
though.
safeties coach is as a young kid.
Yeah.
Matt Wells.
Yes,
Matt
that.
Wells is an offensive analyst. Was Mason Miller a head coach? Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Got me curious now.
Yeah, I heard this at Ben, so the validity might be. But
It could.
regardless, we named
Nah,
four.
he's never been a head coach, so I don't know. It's four though, yeah.
But still, I mean, that is huge. I mean, you've got four guys that have led the program, and four guys will be able to give good advice to. Oh, I think Levy was the fifth. I think these
Well, we
included.
mentioned Levy. I said Levy. I said Levy, Montgomery, Wells, Arnett.
Okay, yeah.
That's it. Unless there's another analyst that we're not
And there's
that we don't
four.
know about that I just don't off the top of my head.
Regardless, that I think the experience of bringing in coaching, the players they retained, I don't see it being 15. I think it's closer to 10 than it is 16. Let me ask you this. How many SEC games do you think they win this year? They have to win. I'm telling you right now. They have to
Probably.
win
I
at
think I
least.
have them winning three.
I was gonna say they have to win at least two or three if they think Lebby's job is going to be safe.
Well, I mean, winning two wouldn't be enough.
No.
Then you're 5-7. You can't bring him back after
they
a
also
third straight
play
losing
they
streak.
play two we talked about this earlier. Like they play two first year head coaches in Auburn and Vanderbilt as well. I mean, at that point you would feel like they have a coaching edge, but they also have a player edge because these guys are basically starting over. It's I could see them winning like five games, and I could also see them winning like seven or eight games. It's just you don't know. I mean, the Kamario Taylor, the defense.
It goes back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago, that the first four games, right? If they're 3-1, they're going to be okay. If they're 2-2, the season is over, and that's how fine the margin is. It's one game. If you beat Minnesota, you got to beat ULM. But if you beat Minnesota and then one of South Carolina and Missouri, everything's okay. But if you lose both of those games, it's not okay. And then if you lose three of them, if you go 1-3, you might as well just go ahead and fire Lebby after the Alabama game because he ain't surviving. So, there you go. Let's talk about some individual players who got snubbed. On this one, we'll do that. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother in the Cotton District. Jeff Lebby approved the older brother. He likes his play calling fast, his vertical shots often, and his sandwiches fancy. That's Jeff Lebby. By the way, I got to tell you something. I know y'all can't see it because it's on my so, but it's bothering me. It's been bothering me this whole show. So, I was in Tampa, and we did a Zoom, right? So it sent a notification because I was on an unusual device, right? I don't normally do Zooms on my laptop. And so it sent the notification to this computer that I'm using right now. And apparently that pop-up sat there for 5 days. It's now burned into the screen. There's a right here on the screen, there's an outline of that image of an unusual device wanted to use a Zoom, accept or deny. It's driving me insane. I've been going absolutely crazy. May have to get a new monitor when Houston gets back. Anyway, I want to talk about Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother, two fantastic places to go grab lunch or dinner here in Starkville. Two Brothers, the best menu in the city of Starkville. Just so many things that I like to eat. The Older Brother, I'm a little more locked in there, but I do love the Crook Monsieur. They have the best burger and fries in town. Go check it out for yourself. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service, same people, same number. You know them. They know you. You've built that relationship with them. You can call them and they can come fix it. And most of the time, it's going to be the exact same day. Why? Because they're in Mississippi, just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for great Mississippi State gear? Maroon & Co. is the place to find it. They have the biggest, the best, the widest, the most unique selection of Mississippi State gear in all of Starkville and the Golden Triangle. Whatever you're looking for to get ready for game day, you're going to find it at Maroon & Co. And, of course, you can use our promo code, THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to any Mississippi State game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. I saw he sold off a big old John Deere tractor last week. That could have been you guys. You got a big property, got a huge tract of land. Well, you need to go talk to our friends at Scruggs about getting a new John Deere compact tractor, series 1 series through 5 series, depending on how big the property is. Whatever the property is, they've got the right machine for you. And, of course, they've got the right machine for the price as well. Their financing department will set you up with a great, great deal. You need John Deere green to make sure your yard looks its best. Get it at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. You got something to say?
After.
All right. You just do. Please wait until I'm done with the ad reads, Mr. Barone.
Sorry. I got excited.
It happens. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is the name to know. They can help you manage your land, manage your resources, manage your timber. That's your most valuable resource right there. They know what to do with it. If you're trying to buy or sell land, they can certainly help you with that purchase as well. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online, g-hope.com. Hope nobody's actually typing in G-dash. There's a dash. Be clear about that. G-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Yes, Mr. Barone, you had a comment.
So you're going to laugh. Okay. I asked ChatGPT head coaches are on the Mississippi State coaching staff, and there are five, including Matt Wells, who was a former head coach at Utah State and Texas Tech.
I mentioned Matt Wells.
Okay, it's Montgomery, it's Arnett, Vincent Dancy, Paul Rhodes.
Vincent Dancy. I forgot he existed. Okay, so, yeah. There are five Paul, now. Paul Rhodes, too. So that's six. That's six, well, right?
Montgomery, Arnett, Dancy, Rhodes, Wells, and then if you include Lebby.
Oh, okay. Here's the key. Former head coaches. Lebby is not a former head coach. He is the current head coach.
Yes.
Okay, I forgot about Vincent Dancy. Yeah, okay.
Five.
Good call. Yeah, he was the head coach at Mississippi Valley State. That's correct. Very good. All right. Now for some individual disrespect, and that's Kelly Jones. I was baffled. I was taken aback. I was outraged when I saw that Kelly Jones was second team All-SEC. Just an absolute ridiculous.
Two Alabama guys first, though. Come on. What are we doing here?
So Kelly Jones last year was
outstanding.
Well, I'm just trying to see, was he first team All-SEC last year? He was third team? That's by the coaches?
What?
There's no way that's right. Is that right? Anyway, regardless of that, this is the best cornerback in college football. I'll just say it. I'll just say it out loud. This is the number one guy, all right? Lane Kiffin, Trinidad Chambliss, one of the most explosive offenses in college football last year, said, you watch the game. They don't throw at him the whole time. He talks about it on the interview we did with him. It's available on the podcast feed. Scroll down. He says he talked to one of the receivers. They're like, yeah, you're not getting the ball here. We're not coming over here. They told him. And you're going to put him second team? This is an outrage. And Michael Borky said it. He's exactly correct. That if his helmet was different, if it had LSU, if it had Alabama, he would have been the first team All-SEC pick. He was the first defensive back I put on my list. Like,
gotta be.
They ranked them. So just to give you guys an idea of how it works, the ballot comes. You had to pick, I think, six defensive backs. And, you know, the first two you pick, or the first, I guess you had to pick eight, now that I think about it. You pick a whole secondary. The first one you pick, it gets more points, and then they add up the points, right? So a person who gets picked eighth gets more points than a person who's picked picks first, gets more points than a person who's picked fourth. Even though they're both going to be first team, the first guy gets more points. So I had him first before anybody else on the list. I cannot believe he was not first team All-SEC. That's a shocker. Now, look, cornerbacks don't need to search hard for disrespect. They'll find it just looking around. Kelly Jones was hoping that this would happen. It has happened. I can't believe it, though. I was literally shocked.
He's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Guys. He's got – and nobody threw to him last year. That is such a travesty. I don't – who are the two Alabama guys that have before him?
So let's here
two
we go.
Two guys on the same team are not better than Kelly Jones.
So the first team defense, here it is. Look, I voted for KJ Bolden, first team. I voted for Bray Hubbard, first team. They're both safeties, all right? They went with Zabian Brown and Ellis Robinson. Now, Ellis Robinson, fine. I had Ellis Robinson and Kelly Jones. No way. No way Zabian Brown over. No way. Over Kelly Jones. No chance. I'm not buying that for one second. I can't believe.
Brian, something to consider with all these media polls too, and I was talking to somebody about this. You know, some of these places have a lot more media than other places.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham covers them. You know, mm-hmm. they got Alabama.
No doubt. Yeah. You got Texas. Alabama has a ton of media people who get.
You got to think that the sheer amount of points that cover the team, obviously, you're probably going to favor the guys you cover.
Right.
So this is something to consider as well. Like Texas has a big media group as well because they're in Austin. You know, I'm trying to, like, Birmingham's got Auburn and Alabama. So that's probably why Auburn was also moved a little bit more than they probably should. Mm-hmm. It's just stuff like that. Like Nashville has got, like, they cover Tennessee. Yeah. And Vanderbilt. That's just something to consider with the media polls because it's the sheer amount of people voting.
But you got
to
know these things, guys.
No, I agree. I think the ball knowledge, putting Kelly Jones on the second team is just it's just not there. That this guy was arguably the best corner in the game last year. What is going to change this year? So
Samian Brown had two interceptions last year. One was in the playoff. Both of his interceptions went for touchdowns. One was a 99-yarder against Tennessee. I think it was like the last play of the game, wasn't it?
No, it was the one right before half.
Yeah, okay.
Crazy play.
And then he had a 50-yard pick six in the playoff game against Oklahoma. So, look, and that's not – and look, this is one of those things where it's like, oh, you're saying Xavier Brown sucks? I'm not. He's a really good player. He's not better than Kelly Jones.
No.
Simple. Simple as that.
So. Kelly Jones is the best
also,
player.
Also, no Isaac Smith. Not on any of the three teams. Nobody else voted. I had him second team. But Isaac Smith doesn't make that. That was very surprising to me. At wide receiver, Anthony Evans doesn't make for any of the first three teams. He's the leading returning receiver in the conference in number of catches.
Read me the first three teams for wide receivers.
Sure. First team, and this is the popularity part of it. Cam Coleman, for sure. 100%, right? But Ryan Coleman-Williams did not have a better season than Anthony Evans did last year.
Oh, he did not. He struggled last year.
Yeah, but he's first team. Second team, Mario Craver, who I had first team.
Sure.
And Isaiah Cetania, who I had third team.
Okay.
And then the third team receivers, Ryan Wingo and Nick Harbor. I had Harbor third team. But I had Evans second team. Like, I can't get over it. The guy had 67 catches for 850 yards last year, and he can't even get the third team? Come on, guys.
He's a bona fide number one with a quarterback that everyone thinks is going to take a huge leap this year.
I was also surprised that Ahmad Hardy was first team All-SEC, considering he's probably going to miss at least three or four games, I would think.
You think?
So, yeah, based on what they're saying, like, I think people misunderstood something that he was saying. He wasn't saying that Ahmad Hardy, Drinkwitz wasn't saying Ahmad Hardy was cleared to play. He said he was cleared to start rehab.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, he's clear to, like, begin rehabilitation. Not, if we had to play tomorrow, he could strap up and go. So, I think he'll miss a few games.
Think he'll miss that state game?
It's a possibility.
Oh, man. If he missed that state game.
Yeah, but I like Jamal Roberts a lot, though. He's a good running back, too. So, Missouri, they just have a system right now for running backs. You know, they just know how to do it. So, yeah, nobody. So, what? Also, I'll give another one. I couldn't believe that Ethan Pulliam wasn't the first punter.
Is he not?
He's third team.
Oh, my gosh.
He led the conference in yards per kick last year.
He had a lot of tries at it, too.
Yeah. Also, I don't understand. There was like, I don't understand why Terry Bussey is the kickoff specialist on the third team. He's a receiver. Does he kick off for Texas A&M? I can't imagine that he does.
Sorry, I don't know the Texas A&M.
Yeah, I don't know it either. So
line up.
Yeah, the only, like I said, only one Mississippi State player on the entire preseason All-SEC team is Kelly Jones on the second team.
Well.
Not that I'm super shocked. I didn't think Fluff was going to be a third team guy. They didn't nominate any linemen on the offensive side of the ball. On defense, they had one. It was Will Whitson. I voted him third team. So I think if he's healthy, he can be there. I voted Sakari Tillman third team because that's one I feel really confident in, by the way. Because in this defense, he'll have 100 plus tackles if he's healthy the whole year.
Yeah.
What was that? And I voted. I voted, whatchamacallit, Kelly Jones first team. I voted Isaac Smith second team. voted Kyle Ferry third team kicker.
Who are the other two? Carnero and
I voted Carnero and McPherson second team, the kicker from Auburn. Okay. He's really, really good. But Ferry deserves respect here. He's going to be state's leading all time scorer. He's reliable. I don't know why. Again, I'm coming to this from the perspective of I didn't expect State to get a ton of respect, but I certainly expected a smidge more than what they got.
Especially considering the hype with Kamario Taylor, the recent hype, too. You'd think that would carry over at least a little bit.
Yeah. He did have people giving him the look like, who is this guy? Like, he looks like a superstar. I'll say this. If they did whose three players looked like they were the best football players competition, State might have won that. Between Evans, Jones, and Taylor, those three guys are athletes. There's no question about that. So, oh, well. All right. Carla won't be with us tomorrow, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to air an interview I did at Media Days that you might have missed. It only aired on Thunder and Lightning Live, which didn't record for some reason. So it's an interview with CBS Sports analyst Brian McFadden. Brian McFadden played a long time in the NFL, played for the Steelers, played for the Cardinals. He was a all-ACC defensive back at Florida State, played cornerback. He was very passionate about Kelly Jones and I thought it's a really good interview. So if you missed it, you get to hear it. If you didn't hear it, you can hear it again. But we'll play that on tomorrow's show along with some other stuff as well. Carlo, back on. You'll be back for the rumblings on Wednesday?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, great. All right, we'll talk to you then. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.